I want to celebrate all the members of the Liberty Church London and Dr. Shola Alade for the privilege given me to be a speaker during the course of the 2021 conference. We are looking at a subject, dismantling the opposition to your opportunities. Dismantling the opposition to your opportunities. And I want to take a text from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 from verse number 7 to verse 9. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Why? For a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. For a great door and an effectual is opened unto me, but there are many adversaries. There are three metaphors in the Bible that is needful for us to consider at this moment and to understand the meanings of these metaphors. The first metaphor is a window, a window. That metaphor is used in the book of Malachi chapter 3. And every time you see that metaphor, it has to do with blessings. Windows are equal to blessings. Then there is another metaphor called gates. Gates, used in the book of Matthew chapter 13. No, Luke chapter 13. It refers to authorities. When you see the gates of hell shall not prevail, it's referring to the authorities of hell. And the reason is because if you have read the Old Testament and read your Bible, you will find out that in Jewish civilization, decisions were made at the gate, what we call a Senate building, where the senators come to converge in the situation of my country, Nigeria. What we call a Senate gathering used to take place in the gate in Israeli culture. So that's the place of decision making. That's the place where decisions are reached that are binding on people that function within the city. So when we say gates, a Jewish man understands it to be the seat of authority. So windows mean blessings. Gates mean authorities. And doors mean opportunities. So windows for blessings, gates for authorities, and doors for opportunities. And Paul is saying that a great door has been opened unto me, a door of ministry. I will want to tarry in Ephesus because there is this door that God has supernaturally secured for me in order for me to bring the service of ministry to the people within the environment. He was able to sense that door. And it was not just the door he sensed. He also sensed the adversaries of the kingdom of darkness that were put in place to ensure that he doesn't maximize that door. I would like to show us a few indicators or symptoms that a door has been opened to you in the spirit, because things happen in the spirit realm before they find expression in the natural. And there are several symptoms that are indicative of the fact that a door has flung open in the spirit realm, first indicator is that you have new clearance levels of authority, new clearance levels of spiritual authority. It's an indication of the fact that a season is upon you, a season of possibility, a season that has potential, has opened up in the realm of the spirit. I remember once upon a time we were in a crusade, and someone began to manifest under the influence of demons. And the ushers ran towards the person and they began to attempt ministering to the person. And they were saying all kinds of stuff and saying this and that. And it was taking so much time. And then the man of God just showed up there and said, "Leave her." And that was all. Meanwhile, the ushers were trying so hard. That's a clearance level. It's a clearance level. It's a proof of the fact that there is a concentrated emphasis of the spirit upon the life of that individual. That is the reason why he can wield that level of authority. When you discover that a new regime of authority is beginning to manifest through your life, is an indication of the fact that a new season has opened, a new opportunity has been granted unto you. That's the first indicator that shows that a door of possibility, a door of potential is secured on your behalf in the realm of the spirit. Second indication of the fact that there is a door, there is an opportunity, there is a season that God has opened up for you is that you notice a new line of grace, a new line of grace and enablement, a new line of grace, a new line of enablement, a new line. Now, I've been under the influence of the teaching anointing. I've been under this influence for a very long time. But I notice when even within the corridors of the teaching grace, when there is an intensity, when there is an increase, the level of access to spiritual secrets, the level of grace and wisdom to bring perspective in terms of unraveling spiritual insights, spiritual revelation, things that were hitherto locked. And I notice seasons when there is a heightened enablement in the area of my current installed capacity. When you notice such enablements, it's an indication of the fact that there is a new clearance level that has been opened unto you. And for every such clearance level that God opens unto you, there's a vast layout of possibilities, vast layouts of possible impacts that God is expecting your life to bring to the life of many people within the scope of your jurisdiction. A new line of grace. Hallelujah. For many years, I had that grace. It was just teaching. I believe God wanted to get me rooted in that grace deliberately, because most of what he wants me to do will be through the instrument of that facility. But it came to pass, being faithful in that corridor that God had placed me, over time, something opened up. It's called a prophetic grace, a different line of grace, which is not consistent with the kind of grace I was used to. Yes, I knew the teaching anointing, I knew the teaching grace, I knew when it increased, measures of it increased. I understand that grace a lot because I've been there longest. But it happened to be that the time came when the prophetic grace opened up. When the prophetic grace opened up, I had to begin to learn that grace because it was not quite like the grace that I was used to. The teaching grace establishes and gives the possibility for insights. You see into the secrets that are locked up in the scriptures. It's also a grace that gives enablement to bring explanations to things that are riddles, things that are spiritual riddles. And when the teaching anointing opens up, it comes with a heightened level of mental capacity and mental impartation. It brings a man to a level where that man begins to think the thoughts of God and begins to travel into the thoughts of the author of the books that he is ministering from. That's how the teaching anointing operates. But when the prophetic opened up, it's a strange, strange grace. Because in the teaching anointing, God needs a raw material. And the raw material is study. It's out of that which you have exposed your soul to that the Spirit of God now alights upon and begins to expand by his own inner abilities at work upon your heart. But when the prophetic opened, many more times, it's not on the basis of a raw material. God just brings something that you're not thinking about. Something that you were not discussing. Something that you were not, you know, it wasn't within your thought space. And then the Holy Spirit now begins to cause it to crystallize. And he begins to make it known to you. A different line of expression. And through that prophetic grace, I could tell people that were in bondage. I could tell people that the hand of God was strong upon their lives. With this new, even my prayer changed. When my strongest handle was the teaching anointing, I will take a scripture. My prayers were based on scripture. If there's a prayer burden, I know the scripture to use to present the burden. But when it shifted into the prophetic, my operation changed. I can lead prayers by revelation. You see, my oppression changed. Whenever you notice that there is a shift in the line of grace, it means there's an opportunity. There were people I could reach through the teaching anointing. There were some people I could not reach through the teaching anointing. Those ones, I was able to reach them through the prophetic anointing. So the heightened level of the grace now created the possibility of an opportunity which did not exist in the old environment. So when you notice that there is a shift in the line of grace that is at work in your life, it is a sign that an opportunity has been given unto you. Hallelujah. Then the third point that shows that you have been given an opportunity is that your level of visibility begins to increase. Your level of visibility. You can be laboring so effectively, so faithfully in a subdued environment. And even though you are very powerful, you are very strong, and you've been faithful to your calling, faithful to that which God has handed out to you, you may not have the necessary visibility to give you the necessary opportunity for you to serve your generation with your gift. And meanwhile, in ministry, we do not create opportunities for ourselves. If you create an opportunity for yourself, you are going to be exposed to a level of visibility that you don't have the spiritual capacity to sustain. You make yourself vulnerable. You make yourself come into confrontation. You make yourself function beyond your clearance level. And the reason why God allocates to us various possible clearance levels is so that we can operate in safety. If you operate outside of your clearance level, it means you don't have authority to do the things that you are doing. And just like the sons of Sceva were challenged by the demoniac, you are going to experience a challenge along the line of your duty because you don't have clearance to do what you're doing. The other day, someone called and said, "Oh my God, I heard you are going to Dubai. When you get there, can you make 2 invitations available for me?" That's how they go on such a trip and die, because they are wandering outside of the visibility that God has orchestrated by himself. So when you begin to see visibility, it is a sign that there is an open door an opportunity has been given you. Meanwhile, it is worthy of note that I was in the woods for how many years? I was in the woods for more than 20 years. Yeah, for 23 years. I believe I was a good teacher. I believe I was anointed. I believe so many people were blessed by my ministry. But I was in the woods for 23 years, just casting out devils and bringing liberties and liberations, and until it pleased the Lord to provide visibility. And when the visibility came by his own hand, not by my walking, an opportunity opened up. And guess what? With every such opportunity that finds expression, are you with me? With every door, because doors mean what? Opportunities. With every door that opens, there is a gate. What is the gate? Authorities. So when doors open, you are likely to come into confrontation with gates. But I don't want to go into gates yet. Still want to tell you about doors. Are you with me? All right, the fourth indication of the fact that you have been granted a door is that you notice that you begin to align with honorable men that you can partner with in destiny. Honorable men that you can partner with in destiny. For a very long time, I felt I was a lone ranger because of my kind of ministry. And many other people preached good things like promotions, like success, like breakthrough. And it's as if God gave me something different, the gospel of the kingdom, and committed to me the deliverance ministry and all kinds of stuff that are not contemporary. So I was somewhat a lone ranger on my lane. And the time came, I felt it was not right for me to be a lone ranger. Lone ranger, not that I didn't have someone I was submitting to, but lone ranger in the sense that on the track that I was running, I was somewhat alone. And so a time came, I now decided to make friends myself. And those friends dealt with me seriously. Then I learned practical lessons that it is God that gives you friends. And in fact, when God begins to open the door of alliances, that those doors are opening, you are beginning to see people that are honorable and noble. And there is a witness in your spirit that, yes, this is one of the comrades that the Lord has raised for me to stand with in accomplishing this delicate, this sensitive mission that he wants me to accomplish. I went in the flesh and I made friends. And I can tell you, 16 people stabbed me in the back. 16 people. And it's not so long ago. 16 people. It means the principle I use will never work. As a man of destiny, you cannot make your friends yourself. Because in the kingdom, when kingdom people begin to appear, it's an indication of a season in the spirit. You know, the Bible says that from the time of John the Baptist until now, there was something that the rise and the manifestation of John the Baptist indicated in the kingdom. When sons of the kingdom begin to emerge, their rising is actually a signal of something that is happening in the kingdom. All right? So I went for a conference somewhere in Port Harcourt, Nigeria, and I met a Bible scholar, so good with the scriptures. And while he was teaching, I felt a connection with him. So I sat down. So he finished ministry. And when he finished ministering, he came back and said, "I've been looking for you." I said, "Yeah, I feel a connection." That was how that relationship began to build. And that's my friend Gideon today. So God now gave me a friend. And as I move on stage by stage, if God wants to show me that I'm in a critical stage in my life, what he does is that he opens up another honorable kingdom personality and I connect. When I try to do that myself, oh my God, because the manifestation of honorable men in the kingdom is an indication of the fact that there is a new policy that God has pronounced in the heavens, and each such policies manifest with kingdom functionaries coming into visibility within your frame of reference. So when you begin to have those experiences, it's an indication of the fact that an opportunity has opened. So let's go back again and go through the list. Indicators of new seasons, new opportunities. First of all, new clearance levels of authority. New lines of grace and enablement. Access to new levels of visibility. Aligning with cutting edge relationships. Indications of the fact that a new level of opportunity has opened up. But unfortunately, because you are likely to testify that a new thing is happening in your life, which is very wonderful. But when doors like this open in the kingdom, what happens is that Satan stations gates. So Paul said, for a great door and an effectual is open unto me, but and there are many adversaries. So doors mean opportunities, gates mean what? Authorities. So my topic this day is to give us insight into what we need to do to dismantle the gates that are built around doors in the spirit. So when doors open, gates find expression. Those are borderline agencies of the kingdom of darkness to ensure that you don't move from one season into another season. So when opportunities open, the kingdom of darkness also is aware of the fact that something has opened around your life. And what they do is that they match your doors with gates. I've been a watchman for a long time, and I can tell you one or two things. Because if you pray over a territory for over 12 years, there are many secrets about the territory that God is going to begin to reveal to you. We've seen the hand of God rise over my city many times. And that hand was supposed to translate to a move of the Spirit. And then 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, that which was building now disappears. Because when the opportunities were made available, the gates also were established. And because we did not understand, we didn't have skill in intercession to midwife the things that God was betting in the spirit realm, the gates choked it. The gates aborted it. And I've experienced that in this territory many times. Paul says a door, a great door. Held in this door are many possibilities, many privileges. Many things, many destinies are going to be set on course because of this door. And this door that has opened is something sovereign. It's a policy direction from heaven. It's an indication of the fact that God has uttered his counsel. And it happens to be that God rules by decrees. In order for things to happen in the kingdom, he utters his counsel. There's nothing that can fight against the counsel of God. It is in keeping with the counsel of God that these doors open. The devil cannot stop God from speaking. Because the Bible calls God the immutable. You can't mute him. All right? So when Adam failed in the Garden of Eden, you will notice God began to speak again. Because if new things are going to happen, God must speak. And his speaking was in a parable. He spoke about the seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent. He spoke about the fact that the serpent was going to bruise his heel. That was the redemption plan summed up in that mystery that God uttered. A new set of sequences, a new set of activities were going to find expression because of that new utterance. So when we see doors, opportunities open up, it is an indication that God has uttered his counsel one more time. For every counsel God utters, since the devil cannot stop God from speaking, what he does is that he establishes gates around it. The authorities of the kingdom of darkness that are dispatched to ensure that the administration of that policy that God has spoken will never come to pass. It takes a lot of sensitivity for you to enter into the things that God has ordained and that God has spoken about. Satan will be looking for occasions, looking for grounds to accuse you so that you will not be qualified to enter into that which God has opened up. Satan will look with, oh my, he will travel around you. He will go this way, go that way. He will stir up an occasion so that you can move in the flesh and insult people. Then when you do that, he now says, you see, he goes to accuse you. So how do you dismantle, therefore, the opposition to your opportunities? Hallelujah. First of all, I'd like us to go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 29. We'll read from verse 2 and 3. Ezekiel 29. It says, "Son of man, set thy face against Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and prophesy against him and all Egypt. Speak and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I'm against thee, Pharaoh, king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of his rivers." Stop there. The way out, if you want to enter into the reality of the doors that have been opened, is the way out is spiritual warfare. That is the name. Get ready for warfare anytime you experience a promotion. Get ready for warfare when you receive a marriage proposal. Get ready for warfare when you have a good understanding of your calling and you want to step out. Get ready for warfare when you have a new job. Get ready for warfare when you have an admission. A great door and an effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. First of all, in this kind of warfare, you cannot fight it blindly. So you will need insight. The first insight that you need to prosecute this war is that you need insight about the kind of opposition that you are contending with. You need insight about the entity that has been dispatched, the authority that has been dispatched to withstand your door. My wife was pregnant, our first child. The doctors gave us an expected date of delivery. I think they call it EDD. The doctor said she can deliver 2 weeks before the EDD or 2 weeks after the EDD. And it came to pass that the 2 weeks after elapsed and there was no sign of labor whatsoever. So in the night, I decided to carry out environmental sanitation. She was sleeping and I was speaking in tongues. And while I was speaking in tongues, my eyes opened. And I saw a man very clearly with this Japanese cane hat that if you can wear it and the hat is like this. So is when you raise your head like this, they will see your face. If you stand like this, your eyes will be covered. So the person stood and the eyes were covered. So I said, oh, so you are the one that will not allow this woman to give birth. The moment I made that statement, my wife went into labor. Hallelujah. She went straight into labor. So the expected date of delivery that elapsed was not a biological thing. But anytime there is a door, there are many adversaries. That's how my wife delivered our first child. I remember also, I went to preach in a place called Gwagalada. My wife was pregnant, and I began to cast out devils because a new level of authority had come over my life. So I began to cast out devils. I was so powerful in that meeting. So powerful in that meeting. So powerful that Muslims began to attend that meeting. The blind eyes opened up. Demons screamed in that meeting. And as I was having a good time on the field, the demons went to my wife. Oh my. And she was in warfare, fought with a ram that had three horns. And according to her, she broke the first horn. She broke the second horn. Then it was remaining one horn. That one horn happened to be in the center of his head. He broke the horn this way, broke the horn that way. Meanwhile, I was there tackling stuff, and there was many the horn that was in the center of the head, and the thing went back, went back, it went back, went back. Gathered momentum, whoop, and struck her. That's how she woke up from her sleep, bleeding. Rushed her to the hospital. The doctor called me from the theater. So this is the situation. I said, uh-uh. Is there no way to say no, the child gone? So what is the next advice? They say, evacuation. I said, okay, go ahead. Well, give my wife the phone. I said, what are we going to do? Should I come back from where I am? She said, no. I should finish my crusade. I came to that crusade. Hallelujah. It became clear to me that whenever there is a great door, there is also what? Adversaries. So before she took in again, I did serious routine prayers. Then she took in. As I'm standing here now, the expected date of the delivery is next month. I have already finished the prayer for that delivery. I was careless during that crusade time. I went there to cast out devils. I had not finished prosecuting some issues. And that loophole was there. And it became an object of attack. I've seen people that were expecting jobs. The interview went well. And they went home to sleep. At the end of the day, their names didn't come out. An effectual door. But they did not go the way of warfare to secure it. There are many adversaries. Not one adversary, not two adversaries. They are what? Many adversaries. So if you see the scripture where we read, there was an insight that was given to Ezekiel. That the power that was at work in Pharaoh's authority was not Pharaoh himself, but it was a dragon. And that is in Ezekiel chapter 29, verse number 3. It says, speak and say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I'm against the Pharaoh king of Egypt, the great dragon that lieth in the midst of the rivers. So you will need an insight to point you to what you are up against. And when you now know what you are up against, you set your face against it. That means forget other prayer points and let your prayer points, let your decrees be against that which you have been shown. You cannot begin the binocular prayer. And what I mean by binocular prayer is you focus. You see, our eyes are binocular. You can't see behind your head. You can only see in front of you. And that means you only see what you are focused on. So in binocular prayers, what we do is that we focus on the objective and we drill the objective. You leave other issues because this is an emergency. If you don't have an insight into what you are contending with, you cannot employ the technique of binocular prayer. And so you will need an insight. And then God opens your eyes to see the entity that you are in confrontation with. If you don't see that entity, if you don't perceive the entity, if you don't have any insight about the entity, you will not defeat the entity. Yesterday night, we were praying at home, 12 midnight, and suddenly I saw a huge beast. And when I zoomed in, I saw that the teeth was iron. I said, "What? What is this?" Then I asked the Holy Spirit for wisdom. He said, an entity has been released into your territory. And this one is a devourer. He's thirsty for blood. I said, "How do we tackle this?" He said, "Well, you can only stop it from trespassing your own territory. But it will still operate somewhere else." I say, if only me, if I cannot defeat it, but I can stop it from operating within my territory. What if we are many? Can't we arrest it? The discussion didn't end before my night prayer ended. So I'm going for insight, more insight today. Because the Holy Spirit comes to me in the night by 12 midnight. It's so clear. Clearer than when I minister. Clearer than when I preach the gospel. It's just as if something switches on. Hallelujah. So I've not gotten full insight on how to tackle that beast. But yesterday we drew a line. I said, "You can't cross here, okay? You do your thing somewhere else, but you know we are here now." So we gave that decree. So this night I want to find out, how many people can we put together to bind that thing? So when I know the number, sometimes, most of the time, to get a warfare quorum is 120 people, as it was on the day of Pentecost. But I need to find out this particular one, what number of intercessors will form the quorum that is needed to bind the spirit. You need insight. You need insight. You need insight. There were a few times in my practice of ministry where the Holy Spirit gave me the name of the spirit I was dealing with. Those were issues that intercessors had labored to no avail. When I came there, I mentioned the name of the spirit and I said, "Be gone." And the spirit left. Because I had insight. I'm not stronger than the intercessors that prayed, but the intercessors did not have insight. And because they did not have insight, they couldn't do anything about the matter. So we cannot overemphasize the need for insight. In my practice in ministry, I've been in situations where I saw people, and the thing that was resisting them was not any wrong that they did, but a wrong that their father did. And those gates were capitalizing on that wrong and remaining at the borderline, resisting this guy from transiting. So I had to ask the Holy Ghost, how did we deal with this? He said, can't you see? The ground that the devil is using is this, this, this. So you do this, you remove that ground. And then when we did that, the access was unhindered. Spiritual warfare is prosecuted on the strength of spiritual knowledge. A man that is ignorant cannot do much in the realm of the spirit. Amen. Finally, having secured insight, you need to now secure wisdom on how to deal with that spirit. Wisdom. Wisdom. Once upon a time, those days, I used to use commercial motor vehicles. I didn't have a car, so I used to use commercial motor vehicles, and I can still use it today if we need to use commercial motor vehicles to get across. It's not as if I've outgrown it. It can be a strategy for reaching some localities. In some localities, it's not good for you to come with a Prado Jeep. You need to come with a commercial vehicle. So, you know, in those days. And in Nigeria, when you are in a commercial vehicle, especially the ones that take you to the villages, the driver sits in front with three other people. I know you can't imagine that, but the driver sits in front, takes a pillow and puts where the gear is, where the gear lever is. Somebody sits there, and then there are two people on the front seat. So it's a full load. You understand what I'm talking about? And then in that whole experience, the second person in the front now dies. This person, yeah. Now, when someone dies, don't panic. If you panic, you will not. No wisdom will come to you. The wisdom that came for raising that dead is to pinch the person. I know it looks stupid. And the person sneezes and comes back. And guess what? There was no adjustment in the vehicle. The way it was, that was how. You would need wisdom. Wisdom. It doesn't take much to raise the dead. What you need is wisdom. And the nature of wisdom is that it is directive in nature. The nature of knowledge is that it is informative. There are several things you need to know that will put you in a better position to deal with a matter. And so, the gift of word of knowledge gives you the information that you need to know to fill in your knowledge gap. But having understood the situation, you still need the gift of word of wisdom, and it comes in form of a directive. We fight spiritual warfare on the wings of two major spiritual gifts, the gift of word of knowledge and the gift of word of wisdom. When you know the wisdom to apply, the instruction, the directive to apply, demons give way. And I pray today that the Lord will bring about an impartation on your life, an impartation of the gift of word of knowledge, so that you will have access to what forms the gap of information that is needed to bring you up to date and make you effective in prosecuting the will of God in that situation. I also pray that the Lord will stretch forth his hand and give you the gift of word of wisdom that will enable you to know what to do under the circumstances. And the prescription, if you are in a situation of spiritual warfare, is that you begin by speaking in tongues. And when you speak in tongues, what you are doing is that you are affording the Holy Spirit now to begin to act. because it is him that teaches your hands to fight and your fingers to war. When you begin to speak in tongues with great faith and expectation, then he begins to bring knowledge. He begins to bring wisdom. He begins to bring knowledge. He begins to bring wisdom. So that is how you fight. You fight with knowledge and wisdom. Well, my time is up. I believe that with these few tips, you'll be able to prosecute the justice that must be established in your life. If you are not in the spirit, you cannot deal with a spiritual thing. Please help me preach that to your neighbor so much, so much. I went to visit a family, and when we got there, they offered us wine. The first thing I do when you give me wine is I check it around. And I found out that it was not just mildly alcohol, it was heavy duty alcohol. And the pastor just opened it, poured it in, and gulped. I said, oh, this is, oh my God. While we were there, a problem came up, and he had no authority to deal with the issue. You need to be in the spirit before you can deal with spiritual things. So it means that if the Holy Ghost doesn't inspire you with a knowledge, you are totally irrelevant concerning that matter. Do you see that as a minister of the gospel, you are totally incapacitated without the Holy Ghost input? So what I do is this. You know, the teaching anointing is so, it's a heavy anointing, very heavy. And once you are operating in the teaching anointing, it will be difficult for you to pick things. So what I do is I finish my teaching. Then I begin to pray. When I begin to pray, I'm opening myself. I'm begging God. I say, you know, these people, I can't help them. But you called me. You called me and said you want to be using me to help them. Okay. Well, I'm standing here. If you bring the resources, I will give them. That's what I tell God. Before I finish my presentation, there's an insight. We can continue doing that insight thing till night. You will need insight to deal with spiritual matters. When you get married, oh sister, go to South Africa, do your honeymoon, no problem. But when you come back, tie your wrapper. Because there's battle, there's warfare waiting for you right there. As you do your makeup, also do spirit up. Make up spirit up. Because it is only a man that is in a spirit that can deal with a spiritual situation. So that's the wisdom I want to give you today. I think we still have another session. The people requested for 2 sessions. So maybe we'll do that session tomorrow. You need to be in the spirit. If you are such a person that we need the assistance of the Holy Ghost the way I'm describing it, you don't want to offend him. Because many times when I preach, I may say something that he's offended. You will not know. It's me that know. So when I leave your face, I go and say, I didn't mean it. Just imagine Abraham. God says, come out of your country, come out of your kindred, come out of your father's house. Go to a land that I'll show you. And God didn't give him the map where he was going. See, I will show you. As you go, I'll be showing you. So he can show you a vision that covers the map for 2 kilometers. You do the 2 kilometers and you sleep. Then while you are sleeping, in your dream, you will now drop another aspect of the map for 5 kilometers. If you know you are dependent on him like that, you can't quarrel with him. There is a place you put God in your life. You can't afford a quarrel. In that place, if you remain there, you will finish well. Do you understand? That's my secret. I put my life in that place where I can't afford to miss him. Do you understand that? So, if I continue that way, I will always be accurate. Always. Always.
Like today, I offended him. In fact, the reason why I don't want to minister to you in signs and wonders is because we are still trying to solve that problem. Then when the problem is solved, I will come in the evening. I pray that by the time I'm coming in the evening, the problem. When you start working with the Holy Ghost, these problems that I'm talking about are very small. See, the easiest thing for you to conquer is sin. You know, that the sin level is for babies. When you discover that you were not the one ordained by God to change your life, that change can only come by the Holy Ghost. Anytime you see the word transformation, it has no other source. But what? Then you now decide to submit. Now that you know, you now decided to submit to Him. Do your work. Every morning you wake up and tell the Holy Ghost, do your work, oh! The things that had grip, addictions, because of the fact that you have submitted yourself to a new master, those things will, that's the easiest thing. So when you begin to grow in God, your quarrels with God will no longer be those things. But small, small, small. The reason why it is like that is, He said, be ye perfect. Right? So that small thing, He will flag it. Because the arrangement is that He wants you to be. I've not reached there yet, that place. But Jesus walked in it. That means it's a possibility. He walked in it. And Jesus said, the work that I do, ye will do also. So I believe that in my lifetime, before I breathe my last, I will walk in perfection. I believe it. Wherefore, 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 3 months, 5 months, 7 months, me and the Holy Spirit were in tune. There was no quarrel. The way, you understand? I actually do 7 months sometimes, no quarrel. I've never done 1 year before. So, and I've already quarreled with Him this year. So I will start again next year to see if I can do 1 year. So that if I'm on the street and somebody dies, I can bring him back. Right there. God has used me to do small, small things. But you don't know what I have in mind. So my message to you this morning is, be ye perfect.